You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game. It is my retro gaming podcast where every week a buddy of mine and I sit down and we geek out about the games we played back in the day. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you all so much for listening to the show. This week it is episode 93 and we are talking the iconic, often forgotten and overlooked Pokemon Stadium for the Nintendo 64. I know when some of you saw the hint yesterday of the transfer pack, that was the image I posted on social media for a hint. I know a lot of you were probably thinking, oh shit, they're going to talk Mario Tennis. It's the only other game I could think of that I even might use the transfer pack, and I don't even remember. Anyway, it was it's Pokemon Stadium. And listen, every time we talk a Pokemon game here on the show, I get a little bit nervous because I know that it's a very, beloved franchise, and I don't beloved it. I only like it as a friend. But I think we did good this time. My guest, former Hall of Famer, Mark McHugh, is joining me via the telephone device, and we had a great chat about the original stadium itself, Pokemon Stadium for the Nintendo 64. Before we get into that, you guys know that I have got a rant for a little while. If you're not interested in that, look at the boxes below. There'll be a description, blah, 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 telling you when to go to. The Patreon is back. Ta-da! Everybody cheers, or one of you does anyway. Just quickly, I guess, if you haven't been paying any attention, I had to shut it down so I could get payments from the government to keep living. But now they've said, as long as you're only making a little bit of money, you can still get paid by us. And I only make a little bit of money off the Patreon, so I can bring it back, so I still get paid by the government as well. So Patreon is back. And what that basically means is that all the episodes of Expansion Pass that have been going live this month will be available until next Wednesday on April 30th. When episode 94 goes live, I will be removing the episodes of Expansion Pass, including this Sunday's, which is about Final Fantasy VII, from the free feed and putting them back behind the Patreon support wall, paywall, I guess, whatever you want to call it, because Expansion Pass was supposed to be for our listeners, for our Patreon supporters. So that is all back to normal. So you can go there, patreon.com/rememberthegame. I'm only asking you for $2 a month. If you sign up now, you are going to get charged again on May 1st. So I'll give you twice the entries in the next month's draw, but you will get charged twice. So just be aware of that. Maybe wait until May 1st if you'd like to sign up. You'll get a chance to vote in our upcoming games poll. You will be entered in to win normally 25% of our Patreon, but in May, I'm just going to be giving away a game. whatever game the winner wants. Obviously, subject to availability, of course. More than likely, it's going to be the digital money equivalent for you to buy yourself a game. But that'll be the prize for the Patreons in May. It'll definitely be worth your time to sign up. Plus, you'll get episodes of Expansion Pass. Plus, I'll give you a shout-out on the show. And next month, we're still planning to give away a Switch Lite to go along episode 100. But that's for in June. Sorry. But that'll be more about that when we get closer to June. So please just consider signing up if you can. I'd really, really appreciate it. In addition to all those other perks, you're also going to get a shout out on the show, just like the following people: Josh from Press Start to Join, another podcast and friend of the our podcast. So check them out, Press Start to Join. New Patreon, Kate Roberts. Congratulations, Kate. You know what for. To longtime supporter Keegan Wilson, thank you so much. Kevin Donlin, that sounds kind of like a movie villain name, but I like it. Cryptovox, I don't even know what the fuck that is supposed to be. Luke R, it's very hard for me to make fun of that when I don't know what your last name is. Lord Egbert, you change your non-name every month, and I'm not going to give you another jokes about it. Former Hall of Famer Mark McHugh himself is a longtime supporter of the show. Michael Mathis, the first ever winner of our Patreon podcast prize draw giveaway. The Movie Epidemic Podcast, another supporter and friend of the show. Check them out if you like podcasts about movie, featuring Bradley McHugh, frequent guest here on the show. Nathan W., I literally can't think of anything funny to say about your name other than I've never met a bad Nathan. Patrick Crossman, a comedian from here in Edmonton that's very funny, and I like him very, very much. And Rex, which is one of the... that Rex now competes with Slick Rick as the coolest name on our Patreon. So thank you all so much. And to our newest patrons, we have two since we relaunched it. So thank you both so much. Eric Canard, sorry if I'm saying that wrong, Eric, and Andrew Castro, thank you so much. If you would like a shout out, just like all of them, consider it patreon.com/rememberthegame. Done. No more Patreon plugs, I promise, for this episode. Thanks for all the questions, you guys. We did the Q&A episode of the show on Sunday, and I had a ton of questions. Just quickly, I did have some few questions about Final Fantasy VII Remake that I didn't really get into in there. I'm going to get into that on Sunday. Sunday's episode of Expansion Pass is going to be all about Final Fantasy VII Remake. The first half of it is going to be a completely spoiler-free review of it and why I think you should or should not pick it up. And then the second half will be spoiler-filled, and I'll go into it. I'll put a timestamp in that description so everyone knows when the spoilers start. I'll make sure to give you guys a huge warning before the spoilers start in the podcast so there's no excuse. But that'll be going live on Sunday, and I will answer all of your Final Fantasy VII inquiries at that point. I guess of a quick spoiler, it's going to be a very positive podcast because that game is pretty fucking awesome. Let's get into the news. There's not a ton, but let's get into some of the news. Mario Maker 2. I know a few of you guys have asked, I love Mario so much. Am I playing Mario Maker 2? I am not. I did not even buy Mario Maker 2 because I bought the first one for the Wii U and I was super excited about it. Then I realized I suck at making levels and I was like, well, that's okay because I just want to play Mario levels as it is. And then I found out that most of you suck at making Mario Maker levels too. It's not just me. It's lots of us. Like 90% of the people out there making Mario Maker levels suck at making those levels. So I never bought the second one because I was like, I don't really feel like sorting through all the crap to find one good level that lasts 2 minutes and then having to sort through a bunch of crap again. Having said that, they dropped a huge update today that's got me, I wouldn't say I'm on the fence. I'm still on the I don't want to get it side of the fence, but I'm at least looking over. I'm looking into the other edge. I'm considering it. If you haven't seen it, there's like a whole bunch of new items and stuff like that. There's a Mario 2 mushroom that turns you into Mario 2 Mario, which is pretty cool. But the two big points from the update that have me considering it, one, they've added the 7 Koopa Kids, which is fucking awesome because, as you may or may not know, I adore the 7 Koopa Kids. Fuck Bowser Jr. The Koopa Kids are where it's at. They are awesome. And then the big update, the thing that's really got me considering it, is they gave people the ability to make overworld maps, just like the Super Mario World map. You can design your own map. I think it's up to 40 levels. That's got me raising my eyebrows a little bit because if good level makers make use of that and then build their own games with the maps, now I'm interested because instead of me having to sort through all the crappy levels to find one good level, maybe I have to sort through some crappy levels to find one good map full of good levels by one person. So, pretty phenomenal update, man. And it's free. If you already have the game, fucking free update. So, props to Nintendo for not just letting that game die on the vine, because I know some people kind of thought maybe that's what they were doing. And I'm not going to get it yet, but like I said, I'm considering it now. I'm on the fence. I would say I'm waiting for a sale, but you guys know that Nintendo Switch games don't go on fucking sale. So we'll see. I don't know. We'll see. I get too much to play as it is, and I don't have the money to buy a bunch more games. Speaking of Nintendo and the Nintendo Switch, I mentioned it quickly last week. People are still scalping them. all over the place. And apparently now scalpers are using computer programs. Maybe they were already doing this and I just didn't know. But apparently now they're using computer programs to buy up all the switches the minute websites drop them. And then they're just reselling all of them. And that is even greasier than just reselling them. Like, go fuck yourselves. Like, everyone's locked down. Everyone's bored. The Nintendo Switch is rad. And people can't get their hands on it because all of you fucking... I almost said the C word, and it's not like I'm worried about swearing on the show. I just know some of you listen with your kids, and even I don't want to drop that word around kids. But just that's what you are if you're doing this. You are a C word. You are a effing C word, you piece of S. It just drives me crazy. And if you're out there and you're still trying to look to get a Switch, just be patient, okay? Look online. I was looking this morning because, again, I want to give away a Switch Lite with episode 100, and I saw a few places where I could at least buy one for delivery in the middle of, like, in the next week or two. So, like, they are out there. So just don't cave and don't fucking support these losers, okay? God, it's rad that the Switch is still popular, though. I love that thing. There's also a ton of rumors floating around about the PS5 and the Xbox Series X. Apparently, we're going to be getting some more news about them right away. We're going to get some big reveal events or something. That's the rumor, at least, floating around as of the time I'm recording this. And that's pretty exciting. I want to do a predictions episode about the Xbox and PS5 before they drop a ton of information, preferably, so that I can say I called it or I didn't call it. So maybe I'll do that in a couple weeks. I'm very intrigued. Like, not only am I intrigued as a gamer that wants to get a PS5 and an Xbox Series X, but, like, we've never got, like, I mean, new console generations as a whole are always awesome, right? The big launches, and it always gets exciting. And it's so funny to look back on, like, old console launches and, like, the rumors around some of, like, the, like, do you remember when, like, the, I think it was the Wii was called the Dolphin, that's what we were calling it, and the Nintendo 64 was the Ultra 64 at one point and stuff like that. And, like, you see these, like, rumors come out and you're like, oh, I wonder if that's true or if that's not true. And then a year after that console is released, you look back on all those rumors and just laugh at all of us for getting so hyped up over this thing that's just normal now. But, like, I love new console launches. So I'm really, and this one obviously has the X factor of COVID and what's going on in the world right now, and I'm not excited about that at all. Like, obviously I would prefer that this was just a regular system launch, but I really want to see what they do. Like, do they delay? Like, do they both delay? Does one delay? Do neither delay? Because parts can't be easy to get right now, and it's hard to sell it when no one has any money, and no one's got any money right now. Like, it's just, I want to know what they, I can't wait to see how this plays out. I'm very curious, very excited. I'm excited for the information, I guess, at the end of the day. Like, if they drop these big events and give us the details on these systems, like, I'm fucking all out intrigued right now. I still don't know if I could. I don't, right now, I don't think I could afford to buy either one. Hopefully things are back on track before these systems come out. I guess right now I'm leaning toward the Series X because of Game Pass. I've said that before, but it wouldn't take much to sway me over to PlayStation. You know, I mean, Sony's got Sony, right? They know what they're doing. So anyway, I'll do a predictions episode about them pretty soon, I think. Maybe next Sunday. God, I love console launches. That's all the news. That's all I have to say. I'm just going to get into what I've been playing, and then we're going to talk Pokemon Stadium. I can't wait to play the Xbox Series X and the PS5, but obviously I can't yet. What have I been playing over the last 7 days, you ask? Mostly Final Fantasy VII Remake. And like I said, again, I'm going to save most of my thoughts about it for the expansion pass, spoiler cast, review, whatever you want to call it, on Sunday. But just quickly, I liked it. I liked it a lot. It's really good. I highly recommend it. For a lot of you that have been asking how long it took me, I didn't quite 100% it. Like, I missed a few little things, and I didn't quite go back to, like, I don't want to spoil anything. I didn't go, okay, well, I don't think it's a spoiler to say there's, like, a Coliseum where you can go and fight and get items and stuff, and I didn't go through all those fights or anything. I went through some of them. But it took me just under 40 hours to wrap it up, see the ending, and I'm definitely going to hop back in and do New Game Plus and stuff like that eventually. So, but we'll get into that. Oh yeah, and quickly, just if you're looking at it and you want to play it, but you haven't played the original, I would highly recommend that you play the original first. You could probably beat the original faster than you could beat the remake if you wanted to. I've been jonesing to play the original since I started playing the remake, but I'm like, I don't really have a convenient way to play it. It's on my PlayStation Classic, but it really, JRPGs, those old grindy JRPGs, scream handheld, don't they? Like, it's just so much more convenient to be able to grind while you're watching TV or something. And I looked at it on my Switch, but it's like $25, and I'm like, it's an old game. If it was like $10, maybe, so I don't know. Maybe eventually I'll do another playthrough of Final Fantasy VII, but really like the remake. I'll get more into that on Sunday. I've also been playing more Mario Odyssey. Still going through my replay of that, trying to 100% it. I got like 30 moons left, but a lot of them are those fucking darker side and the darkest side or whatever it is of the moons. And if you've never played this game, just like they do in most current and like more modern Mario games, they throw in like some super hard levels at the end. And that's what I'm dealing with now in Mario Odyssey, is like a half a dozen of like the hardest moons in the game. And it's just, it's pretty ballsy to put really frustrating video games on a console that is completely handheld, because it's not like throwing a controller. So, and I've got game rage, but loved it. God, it's been so much fun replaying it. I just, every morning with my coffee, I collect another 20 or 30 moons. Fucking Mario Odyssey is so good. Still playing Slay the Spire, card combat game that's on everything that I can't recommend enough. You should really, really try it. I've really gotten into Picross as well. Like I mentioned last week, when I watch TV with my girlfriend now, I'm always playing Picross on my Switch. It's awesome. And then I'm going to fire up Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic this week and get playing that, because that won the Patreon poll this month. So we got to do an episode about it in May. So I will get into that. I just needed a bit of a palate cleanser first, because after playing so much Final Fantasy VII, I was like, if I hop right into another RPG, obviously this game's not going to be compared to Final Fantasy VII as far as like technology and graphics and gameplay and stuff goes, but I'm not going to be able to do that or to separate them without playing something else first. So give myself a few days to unwind from the RPGs, then I'll hop into KOTOR. So that's what I've been playing. Good enough. That's all the news. Let's get into the game for the talk of the thing, the subject this week. And that is Pokemon Stadium for the Nintendo 64. Like I said off the top, Pokemon games make me a little bit nervous, because I know how crazy the diehard fans are. And I would consider, like, I'm like a Magikarp out of water when it comes to Pokemon. See what I did there? That was pretty good. Like, I consider myself a casual to semi-serious Pokemon fan. I like them, but I haven't played all the games. I don't know all of them. I didn't play a ton of Stadium back in the day, but I did play a little bit. I remember it. It's a classic. We all remember it. If they ever release a Nintendo 64 classic, I'm very curious to see if this game would make the cut, because everyone would want it on there, but there's transfer packs and all that good stuff. It was the first time we could take our Game Boy Pokemon and put them on Nintendo 64 hardware, and it was a big deal. We all love it. I'm going to cue up some music, and I'm going to talk Pokemon Stadium with my pal, former Hall of Famer Mark McHugh. Pokemon Stadium originally released on August 1st, 1998. It is 22 years old this year. Kick back, relax, wash your hands and your controllers, and enjoy our trip down memory lane as Mark and I talk Pokemon Stadium. Here we go. If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul-crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at Crash Plan. Visit crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. Crash Plan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission: to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. Crash Plan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, Crash Plan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. Crash Plan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a Crash Plan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. Crash Plan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. Crash Plan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of Crash Plan. That's crashplan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with Crash Plan. So joining me by via satellite, I know it's not actually satellite, it's cell phone, but satellite just sounds more official and cool, is former Remember the Game Hall of Famer and fellow quarantined comedian Bartholomew McHugh. How's it going, buddy?
I'm doing well. I'm doing better than I should be right now, I think.
Yeah, honestly, so Mark and I just talked for 10 minutes just off the air before we started recording. And obviously, this is a terrible situation, and I don't want to dwell on that because we're here to talk video games. But making the best of a bad situation, buddy. This is the most video games I have played probably since I was a kid.
This is the first time that, the government, the doctor, all of the world's doctors have gotten together and have said, stay at home and play video games. And I'm like, all right.
Yeah, man. I saw somebody post a side-by-side comparison of two articles from WHO, the World Health Organization. And one was that video game addiction is a real disease. And then the next article right beside it was they're saying it's the perfect way to pass the time in quarantine. Side by side. And they're they've even done a 180 on it. They're like, yeah, fuck, play video games. It's fine.
It absolutely is, especially with how lucky was it that Animal Crossing was released? A few days after this started.
You're not the only. When I log on to my Switch right now, because I've recently discovered, so we are going to talk Pokemon Stadium, everybody, I promise. Just fuck off. We haven't seen each other in forever. We may not see each other for another year. So just give us this. We're talking video games. I might be the only person when I log on to my Switch right now that isn't playing Animal Crossing. And it was because I didn't want to get a time sync game like that. And then I started playing Slay the Spire. I don't know if you've played that, but
I haven't.
It's my never ending. Just fucking put it in my vein. I've completely relapsed into video game addiction over the last 2 weeks. It's ridiculous.
But it's you're supposed to.
Yeah, we're fighting for our freedom or something. So you're liking Animal Crossing though? It seems I haven't seen anyone complain about it yet, other than people complaining about not being able to share an island amongst three or four users or something to do if you have multiple users on one Switch. I guess some people are running into problems, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think most people don't really that's not an issue for most people. I think it's just if you have siblings or I know my friend Jamie shares Switch with her boyfriend and it's stressing her out that they have to share an island. But other than that, I don't see it being a huge issue.
No, because most gamers are fucking lonely like you and I.
We have our Switch and we're not sharing.
Yeah, exactly. It's my girlfriend and I, we bought her own Switch to play Zelda because I was I don't want to share. Get the fuck. That was back when we had money and we were working and times were better, but either way.
It just reminds me of that kid from that episode of The Simpsons. It's get JD a copy too. I don't want to share.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly what it is with Bone Storm.
Stupid. I've got Blood Storm.
I fucking forgot about that. I actually don't care for that episode outside of the Bone Storm stuff. I feel like that's No, not my fit, because that's the one where Bart gets caught shoplifting, right?
Oh, yeah, Christmas one. A bit of a darker episode. Yeah. There's some darker moments to it.
It's the Bone Storm stuff that's entertaining.
Every game where I have to, enter my name into something, it's always Thrill House with, just spelled Thrill Ho.
I love it. Yeah, I should do a whole episode on that. I want to know what people's names are that they put in to get, because I'm always Hoju.
Hoju. The kids can call you Hoju.
Yeah, Hoju. That's Hoju. And I was playing a game the other day, and I plugged it in on the TV, and Shaylee was like, "What the fuck is Hoju?" And I was that's fuck off. That's my alter ego. Get away from me. So, okay. Well, we could talk Animal Crossing, and I've never played it, and I could talk about it. We could talk those games forever, but we are going to talk about something that we played back in. I got the Wikipedia page right in front of me. 2000. Oh wow, this game came out on February 29th. So it's only 3 or 4 years old if you go by that weird birthday number. And that is Pokemon Stadium for the Nintendo 64. And I'm not going to lie to you, Mark, you're not getting back into the Hall of Fame yet from the Mario is Missing suggestion. But this is a good suggestion. This got you back on the ballot, maybe. This was a fucking... Okay. This was a... Dude, I was watching some YouTube videos of this morning as I was working out, getting ready for this. There's my little flex. Fuck me, dude. I forgot how rad this game was.
It is. This game, it really, it's so much better if you have a copy of, of Pokemon on the Game Boy as well.
Yeah.
So it's one of those games, because like the first time I played this game, we rented it from Blockbuster. That's how long ago it was. And we were so excited, and we got it home. And like so much that you need to do in this game, it requires you to have a Game Boy.
Yeah, I was going to, I never owned it. The only time I ever played this game was, there used to be a friend of my brother's that I babysat. My little brother, one of his friends owned it. Whenever I would babysit him, we would go over there and play Pokemon Stadium. But we'd only ever play, like, I don't even play with the rental Pokemon, because I never had my, I had Pokemon Blue, but I never owned the game. I never took it over there to transfer the Pokemon in. Dude, can you imagine how much it would have sucked if you were like a kid and your mom was like, well, you can either get the Pokemon game on the Game Boy or you can get the Pokemon game on the Nintendo. Like, you can only get one. And then a kid got this and then realized just how bare bones it was without your own copy of the Game Boy game, too. Like,
yeah, like, I know that, like, I, for years and years and years and years, wanted a home console Pokemon game. And we finally got some with the Switch.
Yeah.
But, like, for years, and there was a few on the, there was kind of ones on the GameCube, but those ones don't really, I don't really count those ones.
No,
those, like, main game.
No. And you know what's crazy about, like, this? Sorry, go ahead.
Like, for years and years, we're just like, we want a main console Pokemon game. And because of, like, we didn't realize at the time it was because of hardware limitations, but this was the closest we got for forever.
Yeah. And you know what was rad about this was, like, you know what this took me back? Because, like, listen, like, I don't know how you feel. I consider myself, like, a middle-of-the-road Pokemon fan. I like the games. I have no problem with any of the series, other than I haven't played all of them. Like, I played Gen 1, and then I didn't really get back into them until XY, and then, obviously, Sword Shield. But, like, I'm so biased, as I think a lot of people that grew up in our era are, that, like, Gen 1 is the definitive gen of Pokemon, correct?
It is. I like 2 better, though.
Oh, well... well, it's been nice talking to you, Mark.
But, like, I could name, but, like, yeah, I could still name you all original 151.
Right. Yeah, like, there's just something about those original 151. And watching, like, the YouTube clips of this game today, like, it just took me back to, like, the 90s and playing Pokemon Blue on my fucking, I had I had the original, like, brick Game Boy, and then I had the lime green Game Boy Color, like, the little one. And I remember, like, playing Pokemon on that. And then I remember, like, the cartoons being so big. And then, like, you'd watch the cartoon and see what these Pokemon look like, in full motion and everything. And then you go back to, like, your Game Boy one with just those little gray pixelated images of them. And you kind of had to just, like, much like you had to do with any classic JRPG, like, when they'd attack, you kind of just had to imagine what that attack would look like. And this was so cool.
But there was something fun about, like, using your own imagination to fill in the gaps as to what these fights looked like.
Oh, 1,000,000,000%. Just like playing, like, an old Final Fantasy or any of those games. Like, all they do is swing their hand and that sword moves. But, like, you know that they did, like, this big attack and everything. But then when we got Pokemon Stadium and you got to actually, like, one of the cool things was just watching, like, this was the first time that we got to see them, like, in 3D, like, fighting, you know what I mean? Like, and then fighting like they would on TV. And that was so cool, man. Like, it was just watching it again.
Well, there
was
something about, like, you were playing the game on the Game Boy and you were raising this team, and then you get to see what they look like in 3D. And there was just something very satisfying about that.
So satisfying. Like, because, like, okay, so I guess in case you didn't play it, because there's probably some people listening that never played Pokemon Stadium. There's got to be a couple. It was, like, I wouldn't go as far to call it as, like, a straight-up expansion pack, but I also don't know if I would just consider it its own standalone game. Because, like, it kind of was. Like, it had the gym trainers
it's
you could go through and stuff. Yeah, but, like, it was
like
not.
You can play it by. There is stuff you can do in this game without the Game Boy attachment.
Yep. Yeah, it had like a half-assed campaign, right? Where you went through like the different gym leaders and you had to like eventually fight the Elite Four and stuff like that.
And you could choose, you could pick out rental Pokemon that you liked.
And... yeah. And you could, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think when you rented the Pokemon, you could pick from any of the original 150, right? I can't remember if Mew was in it.
You couldn't pick the legendaries, and I don't think you could pick Dragonite. I could be wrong on that.
Okay. Yeah,
I
that
think
makes sense.
Those were the ones that were off limit.
Yeah, because I guess otherwise, like, there's the same fucking loser kid that played his odd job every time you played Goldeneye would be the kid that'd be like, I've got Mewtwo and the legendary birds, and then a pair of Alakazams to fucking round out my team with the OP psychic Pokemon from back in the day, and just a piece of shit kid. I fucking hate that kid. Fucking odd job,
but if
kid.
You did have those Pokemon like in your game, you could use them.
Totally.
In your team.
Yeah. And like, listen, I think everyone that remembers, I mean, even today, I mean, like playing even the most current Pokemon, but like I go back to like Pokemon Blue, like I had the same team on that game for so long and I had all of them trained up with the exact four moves that I wanted. And they were like, you know what I mean? Like, and you get so like that to me is like, that's the ultimate allure. To Pokemon games is like the attachment you get to your team. They're like pets. Like they really, and it sounds so stupid to people that haven't played it. And I'm like, well, if you haven't played it, then you don't fucking get it. Like you get so attached to these fake little digital fucking creatures that you have enslaved for all time in a tiny ball and make
them
come out only to fight.
It feels like you raised them, right?
Yeah. And yeah, exactly. And so like, and that's where like, I'm like, is it like an expansion pack to Pokemon or is it its own game? Because like, you're right. Without the original Game Boy games, it's just not the same. When you could take your original Game Boy game and take these little fucking gray digital sprites that you've been raising for like the last year and a half, and now all of a sudden they pop up on your TV in full color and, well, I mean, they don't have their voices, but they have full color and like real attacks and everything. And like, it's like your favorite cartoon come to life almost. Like it's,
well, and then there's also like there's like an announcer who's like commentating the fight, and there's like a cheering crowd, and it's like this feels like what I wanted more of in the core game, but yeah, obviously couldn't happen because it was a Game Boy game.
Yeah.
And yeah, the other cool thing is like you could fight your way through like the gym battles all over again.
Yeah,
and if you beat all of them, you get like one of the Pokemon that like you can't get in one of like if you're trying to fill up your Pokedex, they give you either like Squirtle or they give you Kabuto or they give you one of the Pokemon that's hard to find in the game.
I didn't know that, really? Oh fuck. So like they really did go together with each other where you could like, yeah, you could really fill, because like that was one of the biggest, I remember at one point I was like, I'm going to fill out this Pokedex. But then I realized unless I could convince my brother to start his file on Pokemon Red over twice and then trade me his starters, I could never get them because there's no other way you couldn't catch them in the game, the three starters.
Yeah, so they filled in like you could fill in the gaps with a few of those that you could win in like the gym fights.
You know what? Oh, fuck. Like, when Nintendo, like, I mean, and they do this with every Pokemon game, they're still doing it today, like with Sword and Shield, they always release them in those pairs where like, oh yeah, we took a dozen Pokemon and put them in just one copy, so if you want both, somebody's got to buy the other copy, like classic fucking Nintendo. And then this is like,
it's a genius idea, really.
It really is.
But it's genius.
Part of me is irritated by Pokemon Stadium, but at the same time, part of me is like, what a fucking genius idea that you were like, all these kids want to see their Pokemon fighting in real life, want to see them on the TV, everybody wants a Nintendo 64 Pokemon game, so let's just basically make it a giant expansion pass that comes with this transfer pack where you can move games onto it or move your Pokemon onto it. Like, it's basically I don't know how much it cost back in the day. I can't remember what a Nintendo 64 game cost. It's probably like 80 or 90 bucks. But like,
something like that.
It's basically a $90 expansion pass for your Pokemon that like every kid owns Pokemon, and now every kid wants this fucking game. Like, just Nintendo, dude, sometimes Nintendo fucks up so hard with their initiative or with their, like, with the little, what's the word I'm looking for? With the like intuitive things they do, you know what I mean? Like, in the inventive things, and they try these new ideas, and some of them don't work, as some of them do. And this one, like, the transfer pack, I don't know if it did anything else other than work in the Pokemon Stadium games. Someone's yelling at me right now.
No.
Yeah,
it's the only thing that it worked for.
But what a great
here's
idea.
Here's the thing, though. Like, the thing is, like, if you wanted, you could skip having a Game Boy altogether. You could buy a copy of Pokemon Red, Pokemon Stadium with the expansion pass, and just play on there. Because you could play your Pokemon game on the TV this week.
That's right.
Pokemon Stadium.
That's right. It almost worked like a Super Game Boy, but for the Nintendo 64, but only for Pokemon. You couldn't play all your
other
games
on there. Only for Pokemon for some reason, which is weird because you know that technology clearly was there. It was just reading what was on the cart. Why couldn't they have done that for other games? I don't know.
Yeah, it makes no sense. I never thought of that.
But I mean, I guess it sells hardware, but like,
yeah, that's probably a lot of it. But like, because I mean,
the other cool thing you could unlock though in there is like, if you, I don't even remember how you get it, but you unlock certain challenges, you could speed up your Pokemon game. Like, you could play your Pokemon game at double speed or triple speed.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
Man, what a fucking... Just the... It is. That's... You know what? I'm like, literally... 15 minutes ago on this podcast, I was like, I don't know if I've clarified or classified necessarily as an expansion pack, but that's really all it is. It's a giant expansion pack to those Game Boy Pokemon games. But what a fucking genius, genius idea. Like, just, oh, fuck that. Franchise is just so much money and so smart, and fuck me. Like, gaming will never see anything like Pokemon again.
But I think it might be, like, if you put it, like, not even in gaming, I think Pokemon might be the single biggest media franchise of all time.
Yeah, it might be. Like, it's just... And when you go back to these, like, obviously today we look at stuff like Pokemon Sword and Shield and Pokemon Go and all that kind of stuff like that. It's different. But, like, back in the day, this was just absolute mind-blowing technology. Like, when you think about it, with the exception of maybe the Super Game Boy, Nintendo, like... I mean, like, you could get cords to plug your Game Boy Advance into your GameCube and play games on there like that. And, like, they've always tried to tie in their, like, handhelds with their consoles, like, in one way or another. And this might be the, obviously up to now with the Nintendo Switch, where it is just one console. But this might be, like, the first real example outside of the Super Game Boy, where they were like, hey, let's combine both our pieces of hardware. And it's a way for them, like, you're right. Now people, I mean, you could just buy the game and play it on the Nintendo 64 via the transfer pack, but then you're one of those loser kids that doesn't have a Game Boy, right? Like, we all beat up that kid. or the Game Gear kid. Actually, the Game Gear kid beat up the kid without Game Boy, and then the Game Boy kids beat up the Game Gear kid. And threw the 12 batteries at him that they took out of his fucking handheld that lasted for 90 minutes.
Like, walked around with, like, the fucking briefcase.
Yeah. Oh, fuck that kid. And I know you're listening right now. Fuck you, Game Gear kid. Fucking losers. But, like...
You and your fucking parents that had money that loved you.
Yeah, fucking... Well, they may not have loved them. That's why they bought him a Game Gear.
Anyway. So they never had to look at him again.
The Game Gear had lots of good games, too. It had... Sonic. Anyway, I'm not going to turn this into... I could bash Sega forever. You guys know that. What an ingenious idea. Like, if you look at Nintendo and HAL Laboratory, they're just like, okay, so in theory, we could get people to buy a Game Boy with a copy of the Game Boy game, and then it's like, oh, no, you need to get both Game Boy games and a second Game Boy so that you can buy the link cable and hook them up to each other and trade the Pokemon between each other. But now you got to get the Nintendo 64 so that you can get Pokemon Stadium, and now those two games you bought the two Game Boys for, you can put on the TV and play them on there, but you're going to need a second controller so that you can play it with the other kid. Like, just fucking... Like,
the amount of money that it took to, like, fully enjoy these games was insane.
Unreal, eh? And it boggles my mind that they, and like, and I'm like, thank fuck they didn't. But I'm semi-surprised that they didn't charge extra for, like, they didn't sell the transfer pack separately. And listen, maybe this game cost more because it came with the transfer pack. I don't know. But, like, did the...
I don't know if it did.
Because I want to say that, like, the Rumble pack, because I had a Rumble pack, but I don't think it came with a... Because I used it for GoldenEye all the time, but I don't think it came with GoldenEye. I think I had to buy it separately for like $40 or something.
I think the Rumble packs were all sold separately.
Yeah, whereas like at least the transfer pack came with the game. Because like Nintendo could have totally gotten away with that. Been like, hey, the game is $80, and then you can just play Pokemon Battles on your TV. But if you want to put your Pokemon in for another $20, you buy this little adapter that play. You know what I mean? Like, they could have totally got away with that. And Pokemon craze was so ridiculous in the late 90s that we would have just been like, fuck yes, just anything. Just give us more Pokemon. We'll do it. I don't fucking care. You know what I mean? Like...
Yeah, exactly. Like, I remember I was like one of the kids that didn't have a connector, that didn't have like a link cable.
Right.
So I always had to like mooch off the other kids if I wanted like to, if I like wanted to like battle or trade at recess.
Yeah, right. Ah, fuck me.
But that's the one thing that like the Pokemon Stadium did kind of take away from. Is like Pokemon up until then was a lot about like, hey, bring your Pokemon to school, we'll trade there, and then you go home and you play your thing. Now it was like, now you have to invite somebody into your house to play Pokemon.
Yeah, but I wonder if it pissed parents off, because you were like, well, at least before they would play it on that fucking Game Boy upstairs in their room or on the couch where I could at least watch like the hockey game. But now fucking little Matthew is always bringing that little wiener Zach over here to fucking play Pokemon on the TV on the Nintendo 64 that cost us like $80 for them to fucking... Ah, fuck me. So like, so the, but the game itself, like, I'll be honest with you, dude, like, I've never been the world's biggest fan of, and I've been quite vocal about it, of the Nintendo 64 PS1 era graphics. I mean, listen, I'm not necessarily shitting on them because I understand that that's just, it was the first, it was the Atari of 3D gaming. Like, it was their first attempt.
It was the first attempt at 3D gaming.
Of course. So like, I can certainly cut them a mountain of slack because they, you know, they were still working on it. But like, watching the videos from this, like, this game looks surprisingly good. Like, it did not, like, it didn't look like a fucking first era 3D game. Like, it looked really good. I was completely surprised.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's...
And the fact that they got... Go ahead. It's so weird being on the phone because we're not looking at each other.
The exact same thing you were going to say. The fact that they got everything into this game, like all of the Pokemon into this game, is astounding.
Yeah, not only that, but like, and listen, I'm not one of those dudes. We all remember that last year, everybody, well, not everybody, but like so many people were shitting on Pokemon Sword and Shield to be like, oh, the attacks are such garbage. They don't even, they're just standing still. Like, you know what I mean? It's, I'm not one of them. I don't care what the attacks look like. But having said that, you could argue the attacks in Stadium look better than the attacks in Pokemon Sword and Shield today. Like,
well, I guess, but like, I, as much as I love the Pokemon series, the one thing you can criticize them for is that they haven't grown much in the last 20 years.
No, I do think some people call them straight up lazy. I don't know if I would fall into that camp, but I would say it's a not broken, don't fix it mentality. They're like, we're making money hands over fists. We don't have to change all that.
Yeah, exactly. And They could do the same thing over and over again and still make $1 billion on every game.
Certainly, right? And like, and the thing with Pokemon Stadium and how good the battle animations look and the way they actually put a little bit of time and effort into it, like, on one hand, you're like, why the fuck don't you do that in the regular core games? But then it's like, in the regular core games, they also have to worry about the actual game and the catching them and all that kind of stuff, right? Whereas Pokemon Stadium is literally just fighting. That is the only aspect of the
game.
Exactly. That is the only aspect of the game there is. So that's the only aspect of
not
a Pokemon game.
Not necessarily true.
Oh, because there's those stupid mini games?
Because there's the mini game.
Oh, Christ. Oh, we'll get into
Do
there.
Do you remember the mini game?
Oh, yeah. Here comes the fucking, this is why it's not getting a perfect score. We'll get into that in like 2 seconds. Like there, yeah, and I'm not going to get like angry, but no, those mini games could suck my asshole.
I loved the mini game.
Of course you fucking did. The problem the thing about the fighting is like that literally is the only thing you do. So if you're not if the fighting had been shit, like say it had looked just like the Game Boy games where like the Pokemon barely even move, then I think this game would have gone from being absolutely like loved and held up on people's shoulders to just being like, this was a cash in, go fuck yourselves. Because that's what it would have been. Like, it would have been, you're basically paying all this money for a Game Boy 64 that only plays two games, or three games if you count Yellow. So, like, they really did have to make the fights look good. And when it comes to the core games, I can live with the fights not looking perfect if you get the rest of it right, which Pokemon Shield and Sword mostly did. But I don't want to get it. I don't want to crack open that can of worms. So many people hated that game, and I don't get it, but whatever, that's fine.
Hated Sword and Shield?
Oh, buddy.
It's still a great game. It's still a great game because, Pokemon games are fun. And it's still a Pokemon game, so it's still fun. Could it have been more? Sure. They probably could have done more with that game. But was it fun? Absolutely it was.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, you could certainly argue that, like, I mean, I'll use Mario because that's my favorite franchise and I'm a homer and a half. But, like, I think you could make it free, with the exception of the new Super Mario Brothers games, which I don't hate as much as most people. You could argue that Nintendo has never right-click saved as and created a sequel to a Mario game that's just, you know what I mean? Like, just copy and paste. Like, they're always innovative and always trying to improve it.
Mario Galaxy 2, I suppose, but even then they expanded on that game in so many ways that it's like, it's the same engine, it's the same graphics, it's the same core concept.
Sure.
But the levels that they designed for it are just that much better.
Yeah. Yeah, that's fair. I'll give you that.
It didn't really matter.
Whereas with Pokemon, they really haven't gotten too crazy, other than inventing all the new Pokemon, which, like, on one hand, I'm like, that's a lot of work. But on the other hand, like, you used a set of keys. So he has to historically be the shittiest Pokemon. Like, the one that everyone hates the most is the fucking keys. Like, that has to be
Keychain Pokemon.
He's the punchline of Pokemon is the fucking stupid keys. But
well, I think that it's like for so many people, the keychain Pokemon just became like just a core example of like how lazy some of the character development had become.
Yeah,
where
yeah.
it's just like you could tell someone's looking around their office, being like, "Desk Pokemon."
Yeah, yeah. Here this comes Lampo.
Pokemon.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or like even in the last one, there was a Pokemon that was like a cart full of coal. And his name was Carcoal.
No, he was one of my anchors. You leave Carcoal the fuck alone. He was one of my absolute anchors. He like when I finished that game, I can't remember what he evolves into. But he turns into like
a giant pot of coal
with an angry face. And that was like he was like my modern Geodude. He was my fucking rock. You leave him alone, you son of a bitch. I'll hang up this phone right now. That's what I'll do. This is why you're not in the Hall of Fame, you son of a bitch. Anyway.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
So before we get into the mini games, what I like about this, and like I never did you ever play Hey You Pikachu? I never played that one where you could talk to Pikachu.
I never did, but I watched a few people play it.
Like that one looked kind of meh. But like between Pokemon Stadium,
it really looked like it was worth $80.
No, but between Pokemon Stadium, Pokemon Stadium 2, Pokemon Snap, which I still can't fucking believe we haven't gotten a sequel to, which boggles my mind. It's crazy that like they keep releasing these core games that sell trillions of copies and make them all this money to go with the toys and the anime and all this other crap. But then they also come up with these spin-off titles that aren't garbage. Like they came up with like this, they literally took one aspect of a Pokemon game and then just pumped it full of steroids and sold it at full price. And we all bought it and we all loved it. Like that's quite remarkable. Like that's a tip of the old hat for me. Like that's wild.
Well, and I think the thing that Pokemon Stadium did, it was like a lot of people had beaten Pokemon and they were just like, I don't know. They were just like, I know that like after you beat Pokemon, you don't want to start again.
No.
But like you, chances are it's the only game you have on Game Boy when you're a kid. So you just kind of like wander around the game. You have your core team. You just keep beating the Elite Four. You're looking for more to do with your team.
Yeah.
And so when Pokemon Stadium came along, it was like, oh, now this team that I've been working so hard on, I can now take them to new challenges.
Yeah, really cool, man. Fucking, do you think Pokemon Stadium would work today? Or do you think people would just get angry and call them... Because, I understand that, Pokemon Sword and Shield look nice. But the fights, outside of the state... Because the stadiums are fucking rad. Like the stadiums are awesome. But, if you took the hardware that the Nintendo Switch has in it and gave it to a development team and said, hey, just make a game that's nothing but the Pokemon fights, but make them into real battles. Like, make them... Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
actually,
make them.
There is that game. They did make that game.
When?
A few years ago for the Wii U, and then they ported it to Switch. I'm trying to remember what it's called, but it is like a Pokemon fighting game.
I know what you're thinking of. Pokken Tournament or whatever the fuck it's called.
Pokken, yeah.
But like, can you take your Pokemon off of your core games and transfer them into that and have them fight and stuff?
No.
Oh, like that's what I mean. Like if they just made it like it basically like this, like they made a Pokemon Stadium 3 And it was just, you could transfer your, instead of needing a transfer pack or anything, it's all online and in the clouds and shit like that now, but you could take your team and put it in, and then the fights were just crazy. Like, I don't know, do you think that would work, or do you think people would be like back then it worked because we had no other way to see them fight in 3D and see them in full color and stuff like that. I feel like if you release that now, instead of people being like, wow, they would be like, cheap pricks, why wasn't this just in Pokemon Sword or Shield?
Yeah, I think that's exactly, I think we would more likely see an expansion.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And which is what we are seeing with like Pokemon Sword and Shield.
Yeah,
but
you're probably
right. There would be more likely, like we'd probably see like a Pokemon Fighting Deluxe expansion or something.
Yeah. Yeah, you're probably right. So then I still want to shit on the side games too. But like I think with this rumor floating around that Mario 64 and stuff is coming to the Switch, I feel like the Nintendo 64 Classic idea is even more dead than it's ever been. If they ever released it, or if they ever get around to releasing Nintendo 64 games on the Switch, like, would you want this one? I don't, like, would this one even be worth playing if you couldn't do the transferring of your classic team?
No, this is a game that, like, this is not a game that'll stand the test of time, unfortunately. Because, yeah, like you said, there's no point in playing it without the Game Boy expansion.
Yeah, you're probably right. Give us Pokemon
Snap.
And so,
like, next generation is not going to play this game.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll still play Red and Blue, but they're never going to play. There's no reason to play this.
Yeah. I would love to see a kid that, like, only knows, like, XY or maybe even Sword and Shield play Pokemon Red and Blue. Like, just play that. I wonder if they would be like, this is cool. If they'd be like, what the fuck? Like, what is this? I wonder. I don't know if a kid would enjoy that or not. If they did, I'd smack them, because I'd be like, shut the fuck up. This is your heritage. You enjoy this.
This is your heritage.
This is your... Where do you think that Pokemon Sword came from? This is where it started, was Pokemon. Anyway.
When I was your age, we had dope. We had two colors.
When I was your age, all I needed was an Alakazam, and I'd rock a whole fucking team with just him because they were OP. You don't even know what it was like to have to battle against psychic Pokemon back in the 90s.
Psychic Pokemon in Gen 1 were so broken.
I know, I loved it. My Alakazam was my fucking... I would just hide behind him. Just be like, here. It was like when I enter a Pokefight, I don't know if that's what you call it. It'd be like I'd throw the ball out, Alakazam would come out, and then I could just like put my feet up and read a comic book. And just like, yeah.
Yeah, you just spam the one attack.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, fuck, I loved it. Okay, yeah, so this game has mini games too. So it's got lots of cool modes. You can fight your friends with the rental Pokemon, and you can play the regular Pokemon game, and you can go through gym battles where you fight the gym trainers, and I think there's like another thing where you fight through like different cups and you end up fighting Mew or something like that. Like there's all kinds of cool modes like that. But then they threw in some like little mini party games, which I was like, I don't understand how this was necessary. I don't know if maybe they were originally developing a Pokemon party game and then we're like, okay, well, this sucks. Let's make a different game. Then they made Pokemon Stadium. They're like, well, we still have those like 8 or 9 mini games we made just sitting on a flash drive over here. And they're like, yeah, let's throw them in the game.
I think that's extremely likely what happened. Like, you know that they were looking for a way to like pump out more, like to like pump out as much money as they could from this franchise as possible. So you know that they were developing like something like,
like a Mario Party?
Mario Party, but with Pokemon.
Yeah, and then it feels like maybe it wasn't working, but we had these mini games on. Because, like, fuck. Like, the only one I remember having any fun with at all was the one where you could eat sushi. Where you were the...
That one was fun. I really liked the one where you, like, you did, like, a ring toss with the Ekans.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was Ekans, and you had to throw them onto Diglett's.
As the Magikarp one can... Magikarp one can eat my ass.
Oh, fuck. Listen, for the record, I've been quite vocal about this. Like, Bulbasaur and Magikarp are my two guys. Those are my Pokemon. But, like, when all the Magikarp game is he flops up and down. Like, you couldn't even make him swim. Like, you couldn't at least be like, hey, what's the one thing that this piece of shit can do? Well, he's okay swimmer. Well, let's make it like a swimming racing game. No, let's let him flop around on the dirt like he's dying. I see how many times he can hit a box. Well, why don't we just take one of like the 125 on land Pokemon and make them jump and hit the box? No, no. Let's take the fish and fucking make it like, get the fuck out of here. Fuck. I don't know. Fuck off. Like, he's not a joke. All right. Everyone needs to show Magikarp some goddamn respect. I'm getting pretty sick. Fucking stupid. Everybody wants a fucking Gyarados, but nobody wants a Magikarp.
That said, that's the only mini game I can think of that I really hated. I also really liked the Ratata race one.
I don't remember that one.
Yeah, like you're racing on like a treadmill and you have to jump over like platforms and stuff.
I don't remember that one. I don't, like, honestly, it's not necessarily even that they're bad. It's just that like they were done so much better. Like these are on the same console that has Mario Party. And not only does this console have Mario Party, but it has potentially the three best Mario Party games. You could certainly make that argument.
The mini games would suck if they were their own game, if that was the game. But the fact that they're kind of like extras on top of what is already kind of a fully fleshed out game is kind of like, oh, you know what? Not bad.
Yeah, I can live with that, I suppose. If it's like, if they're just sitting in the back, they're just not like, I remember playing them like once and then just being like, well, I want to play Pokemon. Like, I don't want to play these fucking things. I want to fight. Like, that was like, it was, I want to see the team that I have on my game as these giant cartoon characters. Right. And like, it's really, that's what they were trying to do. Like, it's obviously, it's not exactly the same, but they tried to make them look like their anime counterparts that you would see on the TV. Cause this is when the cartoon show was like all over YTV and we were watching it all the time and stuff like that. And like, it was close, dude. Like, obviously it wasn't the same, but watching it, it took me back to those times. I was like, fuck, that's so cool. I miss those days. I miss Gen 1 fucking Pokemon. God, I miss Gen 1.
Me too, because that's kind of when we all fell in, like, we all kind of fell in love with the cartoon.
Yeah, yeah. I used to, like, I mean, I haven't watched that cartoon in, probably almost 20 years, but I used to watch that cartoon. Like, I used to love it. So many people still love it. I think it's still on. I think Ash is still out there trying to become a champion. Or maybe he is a champion.
Still out there, and he's still 10 years old.
Yeah, fuck it. I mean, I said, like, we're both Simpsons fans, so it's hard for me to be like, well, that's bullshit, when Bart and Lisa have been that age for fucking 3 trillion years, too, so.
Yeah. There was another cartoon. I don't know. We're going a bit off topic, but I don't even remember what the series was called. But it was like a mini series. It was just like 4 episodes that, like, instead of following Ash and all of them, it just retold the story of the first game.
Oh, I never saw that.
It's really, really a solid mini series.
Oh, wow. I didn't know that. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, I would like to watch that. I wonder if they're on like Netflix or something. I don't know. I don't know if I have so much to play now. I'm like a 36-year-old. I'm not shitting on anyone that watches Pokemon or anime or anything. I still watch the classic Ninja Turtles cartoon, so I get it. I just like, I don't know if I could watch it now. I don't know. Is it good or is it like honestly, like, are the cartoons good or the cartoons just a giant commercial for the toys? Like, I don't.
They're a giant commercial for the toys and they're cheesy as fuck, but like, watching them now, there's like, I feel a little bit of like, oh, I remember when I was 10. So like, yeah. I don't know if it's good. It's just that I remembered liking it when I was a kid.
Yeah, I get behind that.
Like, I imagine that if I never watched it before and I tried watching it now, I'd be like, what the fuck are we watching? What is this?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, probably you're right. Okay, quickly before we shut this down. It's never going to get its own episode of the show because I never played it and I have no access to play it and I don't have a cart. I'm never going to. Did you ever play the second one, Pokemon Stadium 2?
I did, but we only rented it once, so I remember very little about it other than it was like, oh, these are the Pokemon for Silver.
Yeah, that's what I'm just reading about right now. And it included transfer pack compatibility for Pokemon Gold, Silver, and Crystal, as well as Pokemon Red, Blue, and Yellow, which again is just another way for them to fucking milk some more money out. I'm just reading about the, I don't know. It's the reception says good.
The thing about the second one is there was less need for end game content for the second one because there was so much, like such a hearty amount of end game content for Pokemon Silver Gold.
Right. Like So
like by the time you got to the end of that game, it felt like the end of the game. Whereas when you got to the end of Pokemon Red, you're like, oh, what next?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I have to imagine that, like, this one didn't sell nearly as well because, I mean, I don't want to say that people moved on from Pokemon when Pokemon Gold and Silver came out, because I'm not saying that's the case, but I think if you were a parent and you were buying your kid all these games and then another Pokemon Stadium came out and they were like, yeah, I want that one so I can do this again. You're like, no, you already have that game. And they're like, yeah, but now I can take the new one. And they're like, no, we already came to buy you the new Game Boy game. We're not buying you the new expansion pack for that as well. Like the first one was a cool idea to take your favorite we'd never seen our cartoon characters from this little pixelated screen on the giant TV fighting. I'm not shitting on the second one, but by the second one, it does feel
the novelty would have worn off.
Yeah, the second one feels a little bit like let's just go make some money, like, which is whatever. That's fine.
Is what they've been doing consistently for 20 years.
Oh fuck, I can't even imagine. How much more? Okay, just quickly. Okay, are you? I got nothing else to say about this game. Do you? Before I fucking wrap this up.
Solid game. If you had the Game Boy game.
Yeah, I'll give you that. I'm just looking up how much money Pokemon has made, because I'm curious. Well, I do that on a scale of 1 to 151. What would you score Pokemon Stadium?
Ooh, that's tough. Maybe 100.
100 out of 151.
Yeah, because it was like. Maybe 110, something like that, because it was like good. It was a good C plus B game.
Yeah, I'd give it a B. Yeah, fuck yeah, yeah. I'd probably go around that 100. I guess it completely comes down to just how passionate you are about Pokemon. But yeah, I'd go like in that 100, 110.
It was a
somewhere
cool
there.
Idea. Wasn't really necessary and wasn't really its own experience.
Yeah, agreed. Like, as someone that primarily played it with the rental Pokemon, because I played it at that other kid's house and I'd be babysitting him, it was cool. It was cool seeing the Pokemon on the big TV. Had I owned it at home with my own game and was moving mine in all the time and stuff, I'd probably feel a little better about it, but certainly not it's not a waste of money. Like, it was a worthwhile spinoff title for sure.
Oh, for sure.
Okay, just quickly before we wrap this up, buddy. fuck. It's fine if you're wrong. Take a wild guess at how much money the Pokemon franchise has grossed all time.
Has grossed all time?
Yeah. I'll give you a hint. It's like Bill Gates, Bezos money.
I'll say $150 billion.
$90 billion. Can you fucking imagine? $90 billion. Fuck me. I mean, I'm sure a ton of that is Pokemon Go, but holy fuck, man.
Oh my god,
that's ridiculous. As soon as I hang up the phone, I'm gonna start sketching my own Pokemon. I don't know what I'll call them. I'll call them fucking desk animals or something. I don't know, but
Digimon.
yeah, fucking Digimon, the losers. I never played that. I know that Digimon isn't no name brand Pokemon, but that is all it has ever been in my mind, is the knockoff, like, RC Cola
totally
Pokemon.
Is, though. Like, I know that there are still fans that will, like, swear to this day, like, No, Digimon is better than Pokemon. You know, it came before, right? Like, I don't know if that's true, but heard people be like, yeah, Digimon was first.
Yeah, go to hell. That game sucks.
Well, like, I don't know if that's the case.
I've never played. I could play it tomorrow and be like, this is the greatest game. But no, I refuse to give them the time of day. Good stuff, buddy. Normally I would say thanks for coming over, but you are at home locked in your bedroom just like I am. But thanks for doing this. That was fun.
Cool. Thanks for having me.
Done. And that's going to do it for this week's episode, everybody. Mark, thank you so much for coming on to the show, or calling me at least. And to every single one of you, thank you so much for listening. I really, really appreciate it. Like I said off the top, our Patreon is back. If you're enjoying the show, I implore you, $2 a month, please give me your money. I'll give you a ton of bonus episodes. I'll give you a shout out. We're giving away a game of your winner's choice in May to one of our Patreons, so that's a big deal. Patreon.com/rememberthegame. All the information is there. This Sunday, spoiler cast and review of Final Fantasy VII, which will be going back into the Patreon paywall on Wednesday. So if you want to listen to it, check it out then or sign up. And next week, we'll be back with episode 94 of the show. And I very rarely tell you guys what game is coming up on the show, but we owe you guys a Spyro the Dragon episode based on winning of its Patreon poll a month or two ago. So next Wednesday, we will be talking Spyro the Dragon for the original PlayStation. In the meantime, go play some video games, stay safe, wash your hands and your controllers, and I'll talk to you guys all again in a few days. Goodbye. Cheers. ¶¶